gender is this amazing spectrum, and some people are very happy sitting up at one end of it. If you like to regard it as a straight line, I'm somewhere more in the nebulous middle section, where woman hasn't felt right for a number of years, although I was assigned female at birth and considered myself a woman for most of my life up until sort of the last 5 years. I came to the term genderqueer in my late 20s, and I thought, ooh, I like this word. What is it? What is this? And I did a little research, and a lot of the experiences people were talking about chimed with a lot of my own feelings. And then I came across non-binary, and I was just like, well, yeah, because one, fuck the binary, and two, I didn't feel like I was just a woman but a bit different, or a man but a bit different. And I know for some people, generally not people who identify as such, but non-binary is like the mythical third gender where anything is possible. And that's sort of like, well, no, like non-binary is this big old umbrella that covers so many different identities, even if people feel that that isn't a label they like for themselves. I like it. And in the last couple of years, because I was umming and ahhing for a very long time about whether or not the word trans was something I could or even should use, because I was terrified of appropriating a term that wasn't mine to use, or taking up space in a community that is so often marginalized, even within the queer community in the wider sense. But when I sort of did some more reading and spoke to other trans people, it's sort of like, I do not identify as the gender I was assigned at birth. That is the definition of what it is to be trans. And I'm not a woman, so I'm allowed to call myself trans. And since allowing myself to do that, I think I've felt like a kinship that I didn't have before. And I know there are lots of non-binary people who don't use the term trans. I like to use both because I feel part of both of those communities. And so that's why I have both, rather than just saying non-binary. And but I certainly wouldn't describe myself as just trans either, because people do tend to think about the sort of more binary trans identities. And again, that's not my place to speak for those people. So I have both. And it's a mouthful, but I've never not really worried about using eight words when I could use one. I'm verbose for my sins. So
Jade gave me the gift of telling a story at an intersection of topics that are intensely interesting to me. Not just gender and sexuality, but long-distance relationships and polyamory. There's also a lot of discussion of role-playing games in this episode, but you don't need to be an expert to follow along. Which is good, because I definitely am no expert, and in fact remain the one person in my group of friends who adamantly refuses to play games because I hate fun. Anyway, if you're unfamiliar, all you really need to know is that in role-playing games, you act as a character of your own design and interact with other players according to the rules of the particular game in order to create a narrative. When Jade mentions in-character RP, they're talking about role-playing with another player in advance of the actual game to get a feel for what their character interactions will be. Jade also uses the term cishet, which is short for cisgender and heterosexual, where cisgender just means the opposite of transgender. I know a lot of my listeners are probably already very familiar with this term, but I don't want to assume, because Tia, who you may remember from episodes 2 and 3, never knew what cishet meant and just assumed it was the name of an Egyptian god, which I'm obsessed with. Sorry for dragging you on my podcast, Tia. Love you. I'm Sophie Kaner, and this is Edges.
Couple of friends of mine on Twitter were just like, oh, we're doing a 24-hour D&D session to raise money for charity. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll get involved with that. That sounds fun. And I didn't actually have any overlap with the person I'm about to start talking about. But I sort of briefly heard his voice on one of the other sessions, saw him on the stream. Didn't really engage with him at that point, though he was running part of the stream, so he sort of became aware of who I was. And after that 24-hour stream, I was like, can I like play with you guys some more, because you seem really cool? And they were like, yeah, no, you seem cool too, come play with us, come hang out. And so I sort of tripped and fell into that group of people. And one of the people in this group is Tom. We got on pretty well, as you do with some people. He is from the Czech Republic. And thought he had a nice voice because I like accents. and we got on. And we found ourselves in a couple of games, so we chat a little. And sort of, I consider we sort of became friends. And towards the top of this year, there was talk about a sci-fi game happening for one of our group's birthdays. We were going to play Starfinder, which is Pathfinder in space. We were going to be space pirates, so I was just like...
Perfect.
Yeah. Tom and I had already gotten to be kind of good friends at that point, and he was just like, after we decided our characters, he was like, hey, Jade, after saying, like, I'm going to play a lesbian lizard woman captain, and I'm like, yes, excellent, good. And I was playing a rat person pilot. It was very fun. But after we'd done that, we were all like, yeah, let's all be ladies. Let's be a bunch of space pirate ladies. And everyone was like, yes. And then we had our one token human male. It was great. And he was just like, oh, do you want to play girlfriends? And I was like, hell yeah, I'm down to play girlfriends, because I'm a sucker for that good inter-character relationships, even though it was only going to be a one-shot. And we had some fun talking back and forth. And before the game started, we did a little bit of sort of in-character RP, and I felt my heart do that sort of fluttery thing and my stomach start doing that fluttery thing. And I was like, oh, huh, didn't see that coming. This is not just me getting into character. Like, I know I get dedicated to the craft of RP and acting. I did a drama degree. I'm just really into the role. No. I'm not always great at compartmentalizing when I RP, but you know, that was definitely
when you know.
Yeah, that was sort of a little flag going up. And so I was like, huh. And we sort of carried on as we were, but we just started talking more and hanging out more. And as things do, you saw relationships shift and change. He was having a really rough time with a relationship that wasn't even really a relationship. And so we talked about it. And I couldn't even tell you exactly. I think, as I like to do, and I should have known what I was doing at the time, knowing who I am at the person, I was like, let's do random Q&A and get to know each other better. Like, I haven't done this when getting into relationships in the past, because I like to know what I'm getting into. And it was just like, okay, yeah, we'll avoid any sort of, you know, sex kind of question. Don't want to make it weird. Eventually, of
course.
Make
it weird.
But yeah, but eventually, like, after we'd done that, we sort of did, okay, like, let's, you know, for shits and giggles. Maybe ask a couple of them, and
let's just to have,
you know. And things just shifted, and we decided, oh, so is this? Do we want to make this a thing? Yeah, let's make this a thing. And I'm in the position. I'm polyamorous, and I'd made that clear to Tom when we started when our conversation started going down the thing. He already knew that that I was polyam, because I talked about it, because I'm candid about it. I'd have no reason not to be. And I was sort of like, as we started, I was just like, I don't really know what I want to call this yet, because obviously I have my long-term partner. And he was just like, yeah, that's cool. I said, we won't say that we're dating, because like, this is long distance, it's not really dating either. And he was just like, yeah, cool. And he's younger than me by 8 years. It's great. It's cool.
All right. Hey, what works, works.
Yeah. Like, I've always found that I resonate with people either older than me or younger than me, which might partly be the autism. But
that's interesting.
Tom is the first person that I have started a relationship with since coming out as trans non-binary. He's only known me as using they them pronouns and being trans non-binary, unlike my long-term partner, who has been with me as I've sort of come to this understanding about myself. And I'm not going to drag him here, but he's cishet, and he knew me and fell in love with me as a woman, identified as a woman. I've never been a super femme presenting kind of a person regardless, like, for him, I it's been a learning curve, but relationships take work.
I mean, that's an interesting thing, and I'll let you get back to the thrust of your story, but I do think that's an interesting thing, how the intersection of one's own gender and one's partner's sexuality, there has to be some impact there, and yet you can't tell somebody what their sexuality is, and they can't tell you what your gender is, and of course, that can be such a struggle in a relationship.
Yeah, so. And it's something I've had conversations with my partner about, because a concept I came across recently, which I read about and then immediately felt both sad and tired, is behavioral misgendering, which is where people might know that you're non-binary and use the they-them pronouns for you because they do respect you and they know what your gender identity is. But in their head and the way they treat you, you can tell, oh yeah, no, you still see me the way you have always seen me. And I look the same to you. I get it. It must be hard to sort of, okay, well, you're not doing anything visually that different. Though in my case, I started dyeing my hair significantly more after coming to, I think that's more good timing and the fact that I look really good with brightly dyed hair. But for him, that's been a learning curve and something that he has struggled with and something we've had conversations about.
So if somebody is using the pronouns that you have requested and is referring to you and, let's say, introducing you as non-binary, what does it mean to you that they are not treating you as non-binary? What does that mean in actions?
I suppose the way sex has been. Is no different. And like certain parts of my anatomy, I just say my breasts are of great delight to my partner. And so that's a part that when we have sex that he likes to focus on. And that's most of the time, that's fine. But I have days when my dysphoria is particularly bad or things like that. And it's just like, that is the last part of me that I want you to pay attention to. And I think that's a very difficult thing for him to come to terms with. Just like, but I love that part of you. It's amazing. I know. She's like, yeah, but you see them as girly boobs. They're the fun, soft part of your girlfriend. Because we as a society think, yeah, boobs go on girls. I also am aware that in the society we live, there are certain people that he doesn't feel comfortable talking about me as being non-binary. He will use partner rather than girlfriend. But thankfully, we live in a point now where people don't necessarily question the use of partner rather than boyfriend or girlfriend, which is great. But there are also people just like, yeah, no, I haven't told that person that you're non-binary. And I was like, yeah, why? And it's just like, because they wouldn't understand and they're ignorant and I would get shit for it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, cool, sure. Yeah. And I get that it's hard, and I would never want my partner to get abuse from an ignorant person because they don't understand what non-binary means. But we also live in a society where gay is the worst thing that a man can be for a lot of people. And so to be in a relationship or to express attraction to anyone that is not a cis woman... Because let's face it, it's a cis woman. Because if you told somebody you were dating a trans woman, God, the pearls would be clutched. So I understand it on an intellectual level, but on an emotional level, it's still like, it sucks.
It doesn't feel good.
No.
And this is, I guess, again, the thing about like your gender and someone else's sexuality, if you're in a partnership, right? Being in some odd way tied together, and you know, it's like, or I mean, and I think this would be the case even if you were in like a regular gay relationship with two cis people, right?
Yes.
And it's like the idea of, you know, coming out yourself for like that your partner might want you to come out so that they don't have to be in the closet, but then maybe you're not ready to be out of the closet. And how do those two things intersect, right? Because it's like you have a right to be out as much as you want to be, right? Of course, as non-binary. I mean, you are who you are, and you don't need to be shoved into the closet by anybody. And also, but how does that interact with, you know, how out your partner wants to be? I mean, this is an interesting thing. I mean, does he still identify as hetero?
Yes.
Interesting.
That's one word for it.
Is that hard for you?
Yes. I also get like, because he doesn't even do like, because we had a conversation. This was bad form on my part. I made a tweet saying that I was thinking about top surgery. And he saw it and had a freak out. Because he thought I was going to go do it. Just I'd made a decision without telling him, and it was something that was never going to be discussed. And so, I fucked up on that, and I apologized to him afterwards. Like, that shouldn't have been something you saw on my Twitter, perhaps. Right. Yeah, no. Again, autism. Sometimes I am really shit at considering how my actions might be impacting people in a way I didn't initially consider.
And so is everyone. Everyone does it.
This is true. So I apologized and we had a conversation, and it was a very frank conversation. I was just like, do you still see me as a woman? And he said, yes, I know that I shouldn't. And he was very candid with me. He said, but I struggle with this. Yeah. And he's like, I don't feel like I can talk to you about my struggles because I feel selfish because of what you are going through to become the this change in you. And it's about you. I don't want to make it about me and my issues. And I was sort of like, huh? And I said, so how do you see yourself? He said, I still see myself as straight. And just like, and it's just like, not, and in my head, I'm just like, not even like with a little asterisk, just with like Jade is the exception. And I don't want his whole perception of self to be shattered because we've been together at this point 8 years. Mm-hmm. He's never experienced attraction to anyone outside cis women until me. And I'm just like, you know, like one exception to a rule doesn't change the rule. Every rule has its exception. I shouldn't feel bad that he still wants to identify straight because that's his prerogative.
Right.
But yeah, there is still that niggling voice in the back of my head that goes, he is always going to see you the same way he saw you then. He respects you and will do everything he can, but you know, there are some things that are so intrinsic to ourselves and identity that it's hard to shift. I couldn't say to him, I demand that you describe yourself as, you know, I forget which way the Kinsey scale goes, with a 2 on the Kinsey scale from now on. I don't care if nobody else knows what that means.
Right.
And especially when he dealt so well with me explaining about being polyamorous and what that meant. And he was just like, okay, cool. And I'm just like, and yeah, no, you know, if you see an attractive lady, and this is a thing since my coming out, just like, please just go find a lady. Please. You are such a nice guy. You're a handsome man. Please go find a very femme girl with large breasts that can be your girlfriend.
Right.
So I don't feel like I am your broken version of it.
Right, because you are his partner, but you're really not his girlfriend.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
So, so to circle back around to Tom, who already knew I was non-binary.
Right.
And never knew me as anything else. And so he came in, and I don't know how people who've met me, like, immediately go, okay, that's a lady. I use they, them pronouns. Oh, okay, fine, and carry on. Mm-hmm. I don't know what thought process he went through with, because after we sort of tripped and fell into our relationship, he's just like, oh yeah, no, I've had a crush on you for months. And I was like, oh, because I'm really good at noticing when people are crushing on me. Oh, I'm so good. But we started our thing, and I was sort of like, after initially saying I don't want to call this dating because I don't want to move too fast, because that would be bad and this is new and I don't want to risk it, and not, and I think maybe 4 days later I was like, so we're dating, yeah? Because so we are in a relationship. And he's like, yeah, no, it's cool, we can call it that. And I'm like, okay, rad, thank you for dealing with me and my brain. And I think it was a couple of days after that, I think, I can't remember if we were chatting or if we were on a call over Discord, and he was just like, hey Jade. And I'm like, yeah, as I'm half doing something else. He's just like, can I call you my boyfriend? Because we'd talked before about our partner then, because gender neutral. And he's just like, can I call you my boyfriend? And I felt something in my chest like, open. And I was like, huh. Trying not to cry as I said to him, yeah, no, that would be, yeah, that would be fine. I would really like that. And that moment, it had never occurred to me that being called somebody's boyfriend would be something I wanted, something that would get that kind of reaction out of me. But he offered it so freely.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like this moment in my, and I was just like, oh, fuck. and since then, that is how he describes me. And it's actually caused me a couple of moments of, I don't want to say gay panic because that's the wrong vibe, but like where he's come over to the UK. He's coming over again next month, which is great. But the first time he was emailing the host of the Airbnb. Uh-huh. And he was checking that his English was okay. He's ridiculously good at English, horrifyingly so. I just sit here with my like handful of French words that I remember going, how do you? But and he had described me in his email to this host as his boyfriend.
Oh.
And on Airbnb, if people don't know, you have a picture. And his picture is clearly of a cis guy. Right. And right. I was like, my heart went, oh God, what if they don't, what if they're funny? What if they get weird with you because you said boyfriend? Oh God, oh God, oh God. But yeah, that's sort of that innate fear on somebody else's behalf. And it was fine and it was great. And the host, we never met in person, but was lovely. And that was just a moment of panic. And then since that initial time, when we talk, he said, oh, yeah, I explained to my mum about our relationship and that you're non-binary and that you use they, them pronouns. And I was like, you did what? And he's just like, yeah, I explained to my mum. It's kind of hard in Czech because we don't do gender neutral stuff. Mm. So it's kind of difficult to figure out how to explain it. But I think she gets it. And I was like, cool.
Oh.
And he said that he'd done the same thing with his dad. and his dad was much more resistant to it, but was trying. And he's like, yeah, my dad kept misgendering you. So I was like, no, it's this. And I'm sat here going, my partner hasn't done this with his mum because neither of us want to do this and deal with that because of the kind of person his mum is. Right. And unasked, Tom is over there in the Czech Republic with a language that doesn't do gender neutral, saying, no, this is my boyfriend, Jade. They're non-binary. Use they them pronouns, or let's figure out how to do this in Czech. And I'm there when he's told me this, like, huh.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing. Is the that's another intersection I think is really amazing, is like not the intersection of sexuality and love, but of gender and love. And that thing of him calling you his boyfriend is like, it's not, it's the combination of him seeing you and your gender and also loving you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like when I said to him about calling, after I'd come down from the emotional, what the fuck, what is this nirvana of him asking if he could call me that? I was like, but isn't that weird for you? Because like, you're straight, right? Like, you've always identified as straight. And just like, well, I guess I'm not as straight as I thought I was then. And I said, does that not bother you? And he's like, nope. And I'm like, cool. Great and good. I don't know whether part of it's because he's a little bit younger. I mean, he's in his almost mid-20s. No, he's mid-20s. And so, I don't know, maybe he's less resistant to change, or it's just the sort of person that he is.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether he considers himself straight with an asterisk or mostly straight.
Yeah.
But he has embraced everything of who I am and allowed his perception of himself to shift to accommodate that without ever making me feel it's something he had to do.
Yeah.
But something that he wanted to do, because it's just, or even not necessarily that he wanted to do it, just like, I am in love with this person. Okay. So the world shifted a little bit.
Yeah.
And we're still in the sort of honeymoon phase. a podcast I love called Polyam Radio talks about new relationship energy when you get together with someone and everything is great and you can't stop talking about the person. And I hadn't heard the term new relationship energy. I was just familiar with the term honeymoon period, but I like every, you feel it influences every aspect of your life. And I'm still sort of riding that high, as it were. And yeah, we're long distance relationships aren't massively fun.
No, they're not.
But thankfully, the time difference is only an hour. And so we spend a lot of time watching things together on Rabbit, which is a godsend. And we're happy and things are really good. And both for me, having that affirmation of somebody that sees me for the gender I am and embraces it and loves me for it, not as a condition to our relationship, is an amazing thing. But also, he's queerer than he was a year ago, and has no problem with that and has embraced that. And I don't know if he was always so inclined, because after we sort of became friends, we sort of tripped and fell into the relationship aspect quite quickly. But we love talking about queer representation. And he's like, he was a massive Korra Asami shipper from Legend of Korra. And I'm like, and this is important. He said, yeah, I'm sick of the certain things. I love seeing these kind of relationships. And I'm just there like, where did you come from, you Czech beautiful boy? Come into my life to talk to me about representation and how it sucks that all male characters are the same boring thing. And why haven't we got more of this? And why haven't we got more of this?
Yes.
And does things like play characters that aren't his gender when we do, because we do a lot of role-playing games.
Yeah.
And just like, he likes to play female characters. He's currently playing a non-binary character in one of the games we're in together. He says, I'm always just like, I don't want to get this wrong, Jade. Is there anything I should know? And I'm just like, oh, baby, no, you're doing great. You're doing great, sweetie. When cishet people or cis 90% het people are trying, it's sort of, I don't say it's validating, we're just sort of like, no, we need them to be on our team too.
Like,
it's not like he's not even just like turning up to the game. He's like playing, or he's like support staff, or he's like the water boy. I'm losing track of my metaphor. But it feels, it doesn't feel like I'm just being supported as a queer person. It feels like he's sort of there in it with me.
Yes. He's not just merely doing it for your sake.
Yeah.
He's really doing it.
Yeah. It's for himself. And I feel like even if we weren't together, he would still be doing these things, which is great. It's not performative. It's him wanting to do it. So I love, and I want to encourage other people to not worry about perception of the self shifting when it comes to gender or sexuality. But yeah, and as I was talking earlier about the understanding of going from genderqueer to non-binary to trans non-binary, it's sort of like, that's been over, the gender stuff's been over sort of the last 4 or 5 years. And also, I'm in my 30s, so fuck people that say non-binary is a thing that teenagers and people do in their early 20s. Like, no, shut up, be quiet, sit the fuck down. So, but yeah, it's not a bad thing for perceptions of the self to change, and you're allowed to.
Yes.
Because I worry so much about people feeling, oh, I said this, or I shouldn't use this term, or people are mutable. It's in our nature. We aren't fixed states. And that's okay. That's amazing, the fact that we can change. And don't be scared to change. Like, for me, the non-binary stuff was the scariest part. Like, the first time I put on Facebook and Twitter, just like, these are my pronouns now. Yeah, I've been lucky enough to find community that have, and friends that have supported me and been with me through things. So yeah, find your peoples, like in any way of life. It's find your community, find your 6 friends. They will be with you and stay with you, even strange, even if they struggle with certain things. Like, I have no doubt my partner loves me without question, even if there are days where it's very hard and very clear that he's still struggling with things, but he still looks at me with love in his eyes.
Next time on Edges.
I came to the wedding and, like, seeing them in this, like, amazing long-term relationship, and also them as this industry professional and director of my lab and, like, somebody who embodied all of this stuff that I think subconsciously I thought, like, you can't be you and also be that. Like, you're gonna come to a crossroads and you're gonna pick whether you want to be a sad, like, a broken queer person or a successful, like, person with a life. And then all of a sudden, like, here comes along.
If you want to support Edge's podcast, the best ways to do that are to leave a rating or review on your podcast app or follow at Edge's podcast on Twitter. If you tweet at the show, I might read your tweet in the credits. You can also pledge to the show's Patreon by going to patreon.com/edgespodcast. That's patreon.com/edgespodcast. For $2 per month, you'll receive a thank you in the show notes of each episode. For $4, you'll receive episodes 3 days early. For $7, you'll access bonus material that I cut from the episode. And for $10, you'll hear me thank you by name in these closing credits. Please consider supporting the show in whatever way you can, as I literally cannot do it without you. Thank you so much to my $10 Patreon supporters, Angel Acevedo, Benjamin Redman, Caroline Seidman, Colby Rowan, Garrett M., Jack, Kirsten Griffith, Red L., and Reese. I'm so happy to have you on board and so grateful for your continued support. In this week's bonus track, Jade talks about the autistic trans community, pronoun use, and the concept of FUBU. The Edges logo is by Alice Chung, and original music is by Ryan Vibert. Edges podcast is created and produced by me, Sophie Kaner.